God, and that's actually quite cool because part of this morning is going to be about God's promises. So this is prayer week, and we're going to do a little thing on prayer in a minute. But I love how our journey is in this place of, like, we're so, certainly Rena and I, and our heart is like, man, we just, to do church at any level of being about this is, you know, we're just not about that. And we all know that. We're family. So it's very much a family conversation. So I'm not going to spend long on this, but I was listening to this message this week, and it was about the sermon-centric white Western way that we do church. And the guy was talking about how, you know, we put all of our resources into, you know, the sermon-based church, which is what kind of the Western church model is. It's like so much of our resources go into this, and it's like, oh, our hearts, we're not going to do that. We just don't want to be that and do that. We want to be a people who everybody is equipped. So the fivefold exists for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ephesians, we know that. And so I love the picture Kristen had of, the fivefold around the throne, you know, releasing people into the gifts that God's called them into. And that's what we've got to be, you know. And this is, and then the testimonies coming back. And so that's why the testimonies are important. The testimonies are the things of God that God is doing. And so we are encouraged by that. We, our faith builds from hearing the stories of what God is doing, right? The testimonies are giving glory to the Father, giving glory to God, and they are important. It's important that we have them. And so it's important that we are all released into that. Another part to that faith journey is the small, the home church type thing, because I feel like home church and is more of a model that is about equipping and releasing people into that side of it, right? And so we want to see, we really believe that an element of home church will lend itself to, hey, Michael, what's your part in what God's called you to be, right? And how can you be equipped, Michael, to be everything that God's asked you to be, right? And so each of us going to have that responsibility inside of, you know, home church is going to create room for that. So I'm excited about that journey too. You know, this dynamic, you know, we're small, you know, does that, you know, the real hard questions are, does us Mount & Hope Center as a faith community, does that mean that this exists in its current setting? I don't know. You know, is that something we can afford to continue to do? These are the real questions we ask. And we're okay with Mount & Hope Center, the community, being equipped through whatever vehicle God calls us to. Like, there will always be large gatherings, okay? There'll always be those places, like, where we have, you know, the messages preached, okay? And this was part of this guy's message was, he was like, you know, Jesus, when he released the 12 and he released the 70 and he sent them out, and Luke 9, gave them power and authority, cast out demons, heal diseases. Then he sent them to tell everybody about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so, and then take nothing for your journey. You know, we know those verses. So they began the circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Okay, and so there's this element of preaching the word is announcing, declaring, and demonstration, right? The word will always be preached. And it's important that we do that, and obviously the best vehicle for preaching is our lives, right? Our lives equipped through the fivefold, praying for people, healing the sick. You know, our lives are an announcement and a declaration, and the demonstration is us being in people's lives, right? Understand that? Matthew 28, when Jesus, before he left, he's like, go ahead and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples. Let me read it. I've given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey and all the commands I have given to you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. Teaching as a vehicle, what's where we the Western church have gone is we've gone and we've focused around teaching being just this platform right here, right? This is the way in which we primarily teach people. And so I believe that teaching is so much more than just the sermon, but there's so many ways that we can be taught and equipped for what God's asked us to be in, right? And so we're going to start to, in our engagement with the community, it's like, we already talk about it. Like, how many podcasts do you listen to in a week, Steve?
Too many,
right? Would you say that in those you're getting taught and equipped and you're growing in your walk with God as you sit and listen to those things? Yeah. There's so many vehicles in which we can be taught and grow in our discipleship with Jesus. And particularly for a generation that we live with and are living with, who are technology and everything else, this, the lecture model of teaching people is actually one of the least effective models, right? At the end of the day, like preaching, anointed preaching with demonstration and effectiveness is great, and that will never cease. But the model, how we go about and how we look at teaching primarily, we learn through so many different ways. And this is just one small part in this, you know, there's studies out there that talk about the lecture method of teaching is one of the least effective ways that we actually learn. Like it's funny because like somebody can tell me, if somebody's trying to teach me something, they can tell me it and in my brain, I just don't get it, right? I only really get it kinetically when I actually get my hands on something and actually do it. Yeah. when I get my hands on and actually, you know, somebody gives me the instructions and I'm like, you know, is anybody else like that? Yes. But when I actually physically, with instructions sometimes, but, you know, okay, and then I do the next step and it's like, oh, okay, that's how I learn. And so it is that same, it's that same thing of how we learn, all right? And so learning is, we are, I believe that home church is a part of that. That is a part of getting everybody kinetically involved. I believe that testimony in our gatherings is important. It's important that we have the testimony. It's important that we get the opportunity to pray for one another, do the different things to be a part of that. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's kind of where we're going. So next week, we're going to be in homes, all right? Two different homes, and we'll be doing the same stuff, right? So each home will have the same basic, you know, we'll have the same best practices that we'll be kind of working through as a you know, a little bit of helpful structure without getting locked into a box. Does that make sense? So that's going to be awesome. Okay, so that was that. This week's prayer week. And so, again, you know, I'm preaching to the preaching to the choir here, so to speak. You know, I know we're people who love to pray, but you know, so many the focus of the prayer room this week is going to be about around the Lord's Prayer. But you know, Rena's going to take a whole lot of different prayer tools or ways that we can pray. Because it's so, prayer, we just get locked into this one little box of what we think prayer is, where there's so many different methods and there's so many different tools that we can use that are prayer, all right? It's just like the toolbox. You open up the toolbox and you pull out a different tool for the situation that is required, all right? And so this morning I wanted to show and just encourage us with a little quick. This is Pete Gregg, the guy from 24/7. So we're going to watch a little quick video, and then we're going to pray the promises of God, right? So we'll just get together and we'll work through that as an example of one of those tools, so that we actually have something to apply to our lives. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Sound good? Mm-hmm. All right, Carl. Won't be reverbing now, will
I? So on this course, we're going to be working through the Lord's Prayer. And it might make sense to take a look at that now together. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. And we read verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" The one thing that the disciples explicitly asked Jesus to help them with was prayer. "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't ever say, you know, "Teach us to preach," or "Teach us to plant churches," or "Teach us to share our faith." They said, "Teach us to pray," because they could see that this was the key to everything about their rabbi's ministry. And they say, "Teach us to pray." Now, these men went on to have incredible prayer lives. They prayed over handkerchiefs and people got healed. They prayed, people raised from the dead. They even prayed for their persecutors at the point of death. So they went on to have amazing prayer lives, but it has to begin at a moment in time where they just humbly kind of say, we actually need help in this area. And that's what we're doing really at the start of the prayer course. We're just saying, "Lord, teach us to pray," over these 8 sessions, because we all find it difficult. I love the story of Teresa of Avila, who was like this big saint, this holy nun. And she once admitted that sometimes she shakes her hourglass to make her hour of prayer go quicker, which I can really relate to.
Yes, I can relate to that as well.
Because, you know, prayer is difficult, isn't it? And the good news of this story where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer is that when we ask him for help, he promises to help us.
Can you maybe give us an idea about how the next 8 sessions are going to break down?
When you say to people the word prayer, everyone has a different idea of what that actually means. And that's because really there's lots of different ways of praying. There isn't just one way. It's a bit like this toolbox here. There's a bunch of different tools, hammers and, you know, screwdrivers and all stuff. And the thing is, obviously everyone knows every tool is there to do a different job. And if you called a handyman around and said, "Can you fix something?" He said, "Well, I only know how to use a hammer, but I don't use a screwdriver." You'd think he wasn't a very good handyman.
Not a good handyman at all.
Yeah. And in the same way with prayer, why limit yourself? There's a whole range. The Lord's Prayer is a bit like a toolbox, and we're going to go through those different tools together on this course. So first of all, you've got "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So that means next session, we're going to be looking at adoration, the hallowing of God's name. And then there's "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's intercession. Mm-hmm. And then it's "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, that's a number of things. Firstly, that's petition. Petition is asking God for our own needs. Intercession is asking God for other people's needs.
Okay.
But daily bread is also about listening to God, because his word is spiritual as well as physical. So we're going to think about listening and about unanswered prayer as well, because we all have disappointments and struggles and we need to be honest about those. We're going to look at contemplative prayer. And then there's "deliver us from the evil one." Well, that's kind of to do with spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at all sorts of different tools, different types of prayer. And online on the Prayer Course website, we've got a tool shed where there's just lots of practical little articles on different types of prayer, like how to keep a journal, or how to go on a pilgrimage, or how to fast. And so as well as these videos and the discussions in groups, you can go there and get lots of tips on how to use all the different tools.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. Tell me though, like, what would you say to the person that's out there right now? They're watching, they've just gotten started with all of this, and in their minds, they're thinking, "I just thought prayer was prayer. And you guys are using all these big words like adoration or intercession.
Right. Yeah, the best bit of advice I ever got about prayer was keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
I like that. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up.
Yeah, your prayer life really is at its best when it's at its simplest. I always tell the story about I was walking down the street near where I used to live one day, and God spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just this really strong impression, sort of out of nowhere, that I've learned to recognize can often be the voice of God. And the impression was random. It was, look at that tree. And so I froze and I stared at this tree in the street. And it looked like some idiot, really, and people walking past thinking I'm having some kind of episode. And I'm thinking, what, you know, is this like going to be my burning bush moment?
You're waiting for something to happen.
Right, you know, the tree's going to fall over, I'm going to save someone or whatever. And eventually it's getting embarrassing. So I say, okay, God, what happens now? I'm looking at the tree. And I sensed that he said, I just thought it was a great tree. Good. And so I'm there going, good job on the tree, Lord. And I guess he said, thanks very much. Here's the point. I know it's like the most underwhelming story of all time, but actually your prayer life is at its best when you're saying stuff like, good job on the tree, or, you know, thank you for this lovely day or whatever. Adam and Eve used to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening every day before, this is important, before there was any sin or sickness or suffering in the world. So we have to ask, what did they talk to him about?
Right.
Because mostly, I don't know about you, mostly what I speak to God about, if I'm not careful, is problems. It's, you know, healing or, you know, confessing sin, asking God for help with problems. People I want to see saved. And actually, they must have just said to him things like, good job on the tree. And one day there will be no more sin or sickness or suffering in the world, but there'll be you and God. So what will you talk to him about?
Right.
So that's the thing. Our prayer lives really are at their best when we are simply walking and talking with God about the real stuff of life.
So your prayer life is at its best, at its simplest.
Exactly. And Jesus says that explicitly. If we read the Message version of Matthew chapter 6,
okay.
Listen to this. This is kind of teaching that, you know, is right at the heart of the prayer course. Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 6, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God.
I love that.
Exactly.
Role play before God.
I think I might have done that at times. Just be there, he says, as simply and honestly as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, says Jesus, you can pray very simply. And then he goes on to give the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus is explicit. We should keep it simple, but also keep it real. He says, don't role play before God. Be honest. Don't pretend. And actually, I find that the Bible is way more honest often than the church about the pain and the disappointments and unanswered prayer. And often the Bible's not happy clappy, but it's deeply honest. There's a parable that Jesus told. You probably remember it, about the Pharisee and the tax collector who go up to the temple to pray. And imagine Jesus telling it. There's this crowd, and there will have been Pharisees in the crowd, and then other people who probably thought they were bad at prayer, unlike, you know, the big holy Pharisees. So Jesus, like, in telling this story, there's a little twinkle in his eyes. He says, you know, the Pharisee prayed all the right prayers. You know, I thank you that I am not like other men. And then you've got the tax collector, like, despised, and he's like hiding in the corner, like rocking backwards and forwards, just saying, you know, I'm a sinner. And then Jesus, like, he I imagine him winking at one of the Pharisees in the crowd, and he goes, which of them went home heard by the Father? It was the tax collector. So Jesus is saying, be honest, be real, be yourself with God.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep it simple, keep it real, but also Jesus just says, keep it up. Don't give up praying too soon. And again, he told another parable about a widow who lost a coin. And he says explicitly in that, you must keep praying and not give up. When our son Danny was really little, he got to that stage where he wanted to be able to write, but he couldn't.
Okay.
And so he would scribble away on bits of paper, and we would encourage him. So he would, you know, bring, he'd say, look what I've written, and you'd say, great job, it's like Shakespeare, you know. And but then one time he did this, and then he said, Dad, read it. And I you stare at it, and think, obviously it's nonsense, it doesn't make any sense. But what I found was I could look at his face, and as his dad, I could read his face. I knew the kind of day he had had, the weird little things that go on in his head, the way he's feeling. I could probably even see his dinner on his face. And so I guessed at what the scribbles meant. And as I read his scribbles, he was there nodding, saying, you know, good job, Dad. Good reading. Well done. And I said, thank you, because it really was some of the best reading I'd ever done. And I do think prayer is a lot like that. We kind of obsess about getting the right words, the right techniques, but it doesn't impress God. Our Father in heaven reads our faces, our hearts. He knows the kind of day we've had, the weird little things that go on in our head. And he interprets our prayers. And that's exactly what it actually says in Romans chapter 8, one of the great passages about prayer in the Bible. Starting at verse 26 of Romans 8. Listen to this and think of that image of Danny with his scribbles. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Do you ever feel like that?
Absolutely.
We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So imagine the next time you're trying to pray, you don't know if you're getting through, you don't know if you're quite articulating what's really going on. The Holy Spirit is interceding in groans for you at that moment. And he who searches our hearts, so imagine me searching the heart of my son, your Father in heaven, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So that's just a beautiful description of it's not about the scribbles, it's about the heart.
I love that. It's just so reassuring, right? That the Holy Spirit is doing that when we don't know what to say. He's interceding for us. So then just to kind of recap what we've talked about, you said that we just need to ask Jesus to teach us to pray.
Yeah, Lord, teach us to pray.
And we learned that prayer is kind of like this toolbox here. There's a lot of different types, and we're going to be learning about a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And then your number one piece of advice was to keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
Exactly. Very good.
Well, why don't we pray?
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, would you please teach us? Teach us to pray. Thank you that we don't have to get it all right all the time, that we just need to present our hearts to the Father, just like Pete's son Danny with his drawings. Holy Spirit, there are so many times when we don't know what to say. Would you please help each one of us to grow closer to you and deeper in prayer over the coming weeks? Amen.
So just a little simple thing on prayer. Good? Yeah? Okay, so for the last however many minutes, promises of God. We sang about God, your faithfulness and your promises. We've sang about that. So what I want us to do is get in groups and just pray into those promises, okay? Well, some of those promises are conditional. You know, God, you know, the Bible talks about the conditional promises of God. But a lot of the things that God talks to us about are his promises for us, right? That we need to remind ourselves with the faithfulness of God to his promises, okay? Luke 12, he promises provision and protection. Remember Troy talked about that? What a good message that was. It's like yesterday I'm out there kind of worrying about that sort of thing. And it's like, okay, I need to take my, God's got it. Let's look at his face, right? So that was cool. So Luke 12, God promises to provide for us, right? You know, look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Doesn't God take care of them? His protection, Psalm 91, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is a promise from God for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we who give our lives to him, that we are new creatures, right? New creations. God's unfailing love, Lamentations 3:22-23. God for our health. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. I'm just going to read that one actually, just real quick. Let all that I am praise you. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. A promise from God. Okay. And then other promises like Romans 4:21, talking about Abraham and his faithfulness to God. And he was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he had promised, all right? So that God will fulfill his promises, right? But part of our job is to be reminding ourselves and reminding God. Not that he needs reminding, but just it's a place of obedience. God, I thank you for your promises for these things, all right? Sound good? So let's take 5-10 minutes and just be active in that. So get together with groups, group yourselves up, and let's just remind ourselves of individual promises that God has for us, or just the promises of God for this mountain, or the promises of God over our life, the promise of God for healing for Stevie. Man, we want to keep going after that. God, you promised healing for her, right? And we want to see it. Now, we want to see it in this lifetime, all right? So we want to go after that. Yes, all right? So does that sound good? Yeah. Family time this morning. Let's do that.